Go ahead.
My name is Mark Sanderson, lifelong Alaskan, born and raised here. I'm not a resident of Kodiak. But for the last 15 years, I've been coming down here every summer working, and I love this place. So I'm not gonna speak to what the residents might think and say, but I will say this. The freedoms that we enjoy in Alaska, that's what Kodiak has. And the fines and the extra money, I mean, it's already expensive to live here as it is. I could not imagine trying to buy a home here, and I make a lot of money. And I live in Wasilla, not in Anchorage, because I get those freedoms in Wasilla. So hold on to it, don't let it go. You guys keep fighting.
Good job.
Thank you, Mark. Go ahead.
Dale Wilde. Dr. Bob said it right. Kodiak is not growing. I've lived here for a long time. This place just, I can't believe it. You know, it's an awesome place. You know, kings come here, whatever. We should all be just ecstatic. There's nothing like it. The government, for some reason, thinks we are growing. You know, we don't need more code for a town that just stays the same. I don't understand that. It is a town of small businesses. You know, it's just, that's what we are. That's this place. And if you want to start finding everybody out of compliance and finding them, it just doesn't go with this town. We're all in it together, you know? We're all small businesses. We buy from each other. And, you know, this place just has a certain charm, and we all love that. That's why we're here, you know? And we respect it. And I'd just like to say, I read the deal over and over and over and over again, and yeah, I think I see some good things, but then you got a cross-reference, you know, and I can't figure it out. So I guess everybody else just thinks, get rid of it, so I think that's where I'm at too. Just go with the old code, work with it, we're fine. We're small, we're not growing, you know? Just work with it. Okay.
Thank you, Dale.
You are listening to the P&Z meeting coming live from the auditorium. This is KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM.
The original meeting that was at the cafeteria here, it was quite a few years ago. And one of the things I kept thinking about while I was at that meeting was the old adage, keep it simple, stupid, the KISS program for the code revision. There was some great ideas, and for those that had spoke earlier about all of the time and effort, and in fact your time, volunteers up here, a lot of time and effort with some really good ideas. It seems to have gotten amalgamated with this huge, overbearing, a direction that people that live here don't want. I just want to say that I'm glad to hear what we're doing tonight, and that the Borough Assembly is also the, please remember, the Borough Assembly is the final. Your board will probably give them a possible direction to go to, but they're the final toll keepers on the borough code revision, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Could you come up to the mic? The radio won't pick it up, please. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline Gibbs. I just got this. This is my permit and everything. So here it is right here. But they have a tendency of saying what I can't do and what I can't, and I don't understand why not. All I want to do is move the cars off the island. That's the easiest way to do it. I know because I tried already. And so I'm going to take this to court because they burned a boat of mine. You know, so I have no choice but to take it to court. So that's all I'm saying.
Thank you, John. Go ahead.
My name's Bill Hoyt. I've been a contractor for 40 years, and I come from New England, so I've worked on 200-year-old homes, and I thought I'd seen it all, but when I came to Kodiak, I realized I hadn't. I've seen both sides of it. I wouldn't say no code is the answer, but I think an extremely restrictive code is not the answer also. What I would like to see, and it might facilitate the process, is if you are going to revamp a code, get builders on the committee, get bankers on the committee, and get a number of people in the community that have no vested interest in either making money or building houses. You're going to give a representative view that way, and you're going to get an idea of what's going to stimulate business and what's not going to stimulate business. And I do thank all of you for all the time you've spent on this. I'm glad it wasn't me. But you do need people on the tip of the spear that have been there. As an example, I built one house designed by a famous architect. His moniker was Chimney Designs. Well, I was on the first floor, and I'm looking around, and I said, there's no chimney. So another house I worked on an offshore island in Maine, which was multi-million dollar house, the architect had the foundation under the water table. So just because someone has a moniker, I don't trust them. You need people on the tip of the spear, and you need people on the handle. I would encourage you to find both sides. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Go ahead.
My name is Stig Ingvi, and I live out in Menasha Bay. My dad is the Antichrist, and my mom is an angel. And I grew up in a redneck, hippie, white trash haven. And I've bled out the ears as much as anybody else in this room. You guys are an exception to this because you work as hard as we do on a day-to-day basis, and you're behind closed doors doing the best you can for everybody on this whole island after you're done working a 40-hour work week or an 8-hour or 10-hour work day or whatever. And Mike Milligan is saying that it's insane for the youth of Kodiak to even think about building a home and pursuing the dream of living and justifying living and thriving and prospering in Kodiak. I am that person doing that right now. And I've had a really steep learning curve growing up in a quick manner, assuming a lot of adult responsibility fast. And what I would like to say is I love Kodiak. I'm really grateful that 2/3 of it is wildlife refuge where we can escape from people and roads and cars and noise and all that. But when I'm done getting my butt whipped by the cold and I'm ready to go home and eat Big Al's or whatever, I love this town and everybody in this room. This is what makes this town special. And if there's anything that wants, if there's anything that doesn't make sense to someone that's barely literate or they're a PhD, if it doesn't benefit all of us as reasonably as can benefit all of us, if it doesn't make sense, don't think about it. Shelve it forever. Throw it in a crab pot and stick it in the deepest part of the ocean, way the hell out there in the middle of nowhere. Get rid of it. Don't even consider it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back in a bit. So, 10-minute break. Thank you.
And they'll take a little bit of a break here. We'll take you back to some Diana Krall.
Bam. basically remind everyone, I'll give that number again. Call in, which is at KMXT for comments here, is 486-3181. And basically, I'll remind everyone to please speak into the mic. When you turn away from the mic, it doesn't get broadcast on KMXT and get recorded. So with that, Dennis?
We live?
You're live.
Sometimes I forget, Dennis Simmons, concerned citizen, grateful member of this community. This is pretty powerful. It looks like some people have left, but some of us held our breath. Some of us have been in the trenches for a while. And when I had a problem finding a parking lot, being an hour late tonight, success was in the air. And anyway, thank you all, everybody, paid staff, thank you. In the trenches too, by the way. I was gonna chastise a reporter for printing some not true statements in the paper, but I'm pretty sure that's happened already. My point is that just because even if you see something and it looks kosher, check it out, find out. One of the comrades in the trenches very recently at a work session chastised us, chastised the people. And at first I was really angry about that chastising, and I gave it some serious thought. I thought a friend of mine was gonna cut loose with punches after he did that. But you know what, no matter what happens tonight, there is one thing that has been suffering in this community for a long time, still does. There are people in the trenches that haven't given up on this community. We're up here, you know, pointing our fingers, but the one thing that has been obvious for a long, long time is where our duty lies. And our borough assembly does not pretend when they beg for your presence at the meetings. Our P&Z isn't pretending to beg for your input. And what's going to happen is, this thing's just gotten started, by the way. No matter what happens tonight, they're going to continue begging for your input on this code revision. Are we all understanding that? How many people listened intently to what Kyle Crowe said tonight? Does anybody remember what the last thing he said was? Kyle Crowe is offering to do whatever he can to help this panel, that panel, this panel. There's not very many that are in the trenches these days, I tell you. You know, it'd be really neat at every work session they realize that we've got a crowd big enough to go out in the hallway. And it's pretty profound what happens when a crowd shows up like this. I'm still just...
Speak into the mic, Dennis.
I'm still just awed. It's progress when I can lower the tone of my voice. Stig, that was wonderful. I come up here with notes and stuff. A dear elder is constantly telling me, if you speak from the heart, you don't have to exercise anything. You don't have to plan it. You just do it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Okay. It was set for Randy.
Okay, sorry. My name's Becca Meyer, and I was raised in Kodiak for about 10 years of my childhood. I recently moved back from Boise, Idaho, and I just had to say, like, being down there, it is crazy different, and there's so many restrictions. It's nothing like living up here, and Kodiak is such a unique place, really, like everybody said, and it's, like, such a beautiful place to be free, and just, like, all these restrictions. I don't know everything about what's going on, but I know enough to know that Kodiak doesn't need a ton of restrictions. And if I want, you know, my future up here to be similar to where, like, when I was raised, like, and for my kids, I would hate to see them so restricted living on this beautiful place. And I think it's a blessing to live here, and we don't need to see all these changes, really. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Becca.
I got a way up there.
Go ahead, Randy.
My name is Randy Schuster, and for some of you who don't know me, I've done a lot of scrap iron removal in Kodiak, 3 million pounds worth to be exact. And I've cleaned up the Urson cannery. I've cleaned up Mitage's lot. He put up a new building. I've cleaned up Chris Wing's property. He put up a new building. Those are just three of the properties that I had a hand in cleaning up. And to today, with those property increases in value, puts another $11,463 in the borough's coffers. And on top of all that, I've removed over 300 vehicles off this island. When I first started, Nick Troxell was charging $415 a piece. I was charging the community nothing. How much did I save the Kodiak Island borough? $50,000, $75,000. But they have chased me harder than any one person in this community, I guarantee you. And Jack Maker did a damn good job of it. But I'm saying it disheartens me when I hear that they're spending $400,000 on consulting fees. They couldn't find anything in this town that they could do better with this money. Could they have helped some of the people that might have had a lot of scrap iron laying about their home that they could have opened up the burrow for them to drop it off? But $400,000? Maybe there was a village in somewhere that needed a brand new generator. But no, we have to sit here and argue with these people over nothing. And when it's all done, we have nothing. Do you understand? And then when I look out into the community here, I don't see hardly any young people that own any properties here in this community. This community's dying, and these people are helping us. It's like they're intravenously dragging out all the blood out of this community, little by little. You know, and my intentions are, I haven't got to the properties over behind Safeway that I cleaned up. What's the values of those when they get all of them all filled in? What's the value gonna be? I've taken vehicles for Jack Maker on Thorshine with his ex-wife. I've taken them for Martin Leidick at Cove Trailer Park. I cleaned up Scott Arndt's yard on Balika. And some of those vehicles are there for 20 years. But they come at me and say, Randy Schuster, you can't have a junk vehicle on any of those properties that you're cleaning up for more than 5 days. When have they ever, when have they ever endorsed that? They have never. I did the Kodiak Island Borough junk car program for 2 years, and my budget was for those 2 years, $21,000 a year. And out of that $21,000, I was able to tow in 300 cars a year to the Kodiak Island Borough. And they used to just tighten the nuts down on us for every $5 or something. But they have no problem spending $500 or $400,000. You know, I'm getting to the point where it's not a personal thing anymore. It's more about economics. We can't afford two governments in this community. We need to get down to one unified government. We need to get rid of this. It's never going to stop. And I'd like to say a special thanks to one person in this community that probably everything, if you tell the truth in this community, they call you a troublemaker. And Mel Stevens, we should thank him for the positions that he's taken against these people. You have to be an attorney to fight them. You can't, we all clap and we come down here and think we're gonna do something. You have to take them to court almost before they make a believer out of them. Because after this all dies down and it gets real quiet, they'll move in directions we don't want them to again. Would you all wanna come back here and do this again? I think that we need to get down to one unified government and make this thing work and put the people in this community that want to be in and do something for people here still and not take their rights away and put those people into power again. And let's just get away from all this political bureaucracy we got going on, because a lot of people came to Alaska to be individualism and all these different things, and what the IFQs didn't sell off and the rationalization didn't take away from us, they're going to get the rest of it. So this is a dying community, and we better wake up. It's an economic thing now.
Thank you, Randy. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Gemma Dorado. I just wanted to say that we just got our second mortgage house, and we're very glad to hear that my daughter, she's a freshman, she said that when she comes back from college, of course she's gonna be in a few years, she wanted to come back to Kodiak. That was a very good news for us, not just to say that she's coming back to her house, but she wanted to live in Kodiak. Now that we have to talk about the code, she's She's actually trying to decide if she's gonna go find somewhere else to live. That's one thing. The other one is we're gonna have to, if the code goes on, I'm gonna have to get us maybe another loan to pay taxes, you know, for what I do in my own property. And another thing is, if I don't make sense, it may be because this is my second language, and it's the same thing as the code doesn't make any sense to me. And I've understood the code very well. Thank you.
Thank you for coming forward. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan Rice, I live out in Flats. I'm not very happy with the lack of this code's acknowledgement of our comprehensive plans for the different areas. I was on the citizens group that did the one in 1990 and reviewed it in 2000. And then I put comments in to the contractor that they had come in for the last one. The Flats area, we said we wanted larger lots, 2 to 5 acres, wanted to continue to be rural. When this code was first presented, one of the things I saw was they wanted to zone the flats suburban. And that made a major change in what we could do out there. Wouldn't be able to raise a beef animal, have horses. When we raised chickens, we'd order 100-day-old chicks to raise. Some of them went as Cornish green hens, fryers, a few layers. And this idea of just being able to have 5 chickens. When I first retired in 85, I was offered a paid position on the Kodiak Fire Department, provided I moved into town. I don't have a problem with the city. I like visiting it, but I want to live in the flats. So for the last almost 30 years, I've been a volunteer out there on the fire department, unpaid volunteer. And I would like to continue to live with the without this code. And I'd like you to pay attention to our community development plans. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale.
Mr. Chair, we have a caller.
We have a caller at this minute. Hang on a minute, Bruce. We'll go ahead and take the call. You're live at the Planning and Zoning Special Meeting.
State your name for the record, please.
Sarah Thayer.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. 35-year resident of Kodiak and property owner with my husband. I called in during the first meeting on January 12th, and tonight I'm going to take a different tack. At the last meeting, speakers definitely said scrap the code, borough code updates. I agree 100% with that. And we should scrap the updates, go back to the original code, go back to square one, and start all over. And not only Title 17, which is zoning, but don't forget about the other two titles, 16 for subdivisions, 18 for borough land / real property. And when we go up, reason I'd say don't forget about those, because you might think right now only zoning affects you. You don't know what's going to happen in the future, and you have to pay attention to Title 16 and 18. And the thing is, we don't know what the future's going to bring. We don't have a crystal ball. So if some of you don't pay attention, the only thing I can say is forever hold your peace. If you do go back to the original code, whatever doesn't apply anymore, you know, whatever code doesn't apply anymore, just toss it. If something's worth keeping, revamp it, revise it, whatever. But the wording should be simple. It should be in layman's terms. And most importantly, the interpretation for the words you choose to use should be very, very clear, so there's no misunderstanding and no second guessing. Also, these deletions, revisions, revamping of the original code should have the input and the agreed upon
great,
by the citizens. And also, we don't want any more deception, no more secrecy, no more the wool pulled over our eyes. Everything should be above board. And the other thing I want to mention is that the borough staff works for us. We pay their salaries. And the borough should be representing the citizens of Kodiak. I don't think they're doing that. They seem to have their own agenda. That's not the democratic way of doing things. They're trying to strip our civil liberties. And lastly, I don't think our forefathers would cotton to that. So we, the people, are speaking out. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Sarah. Bruce?
Yeah, good evening. My name is Bruce Schockler. You can see I've been here for, you know, I tell people I've been here long enough to know better. And that's why I'm still here. But you know, I'm double thinking that. Not even pull punches, you know. When I got here, we were living in bunkers in all the Quonset huts, all out at the flats, and in tents, all out in Menashka Bay. And what happened? Burl Hill land sales, one right after the other. And you talk about economic development. All the hippies that Sig was talking about, everybody was buying land, building houses. You know, out of old rough cut lumber, salvaged junk out of the old, stripping down the old Quonset huts. You know what? Those houses are still standing. The houses up here where it blows 150 miles an hour every once in a while, built out of 2x4s and 8-penny nails. You know what? They're still standing too. So we keep getting these new borough codes, building codes. Scott, you're a builder. I built a couple, three houses in town here. It's retarded. It's made for architects. It's made for building suppliers. It's made for all that type of people to make money, because it's not needed. I understand, and I'm into, you know, at least when I go buy some used house, I know what I'm buying, okay? And there's been a little, there's been some code there that says you gotta build, you can't use 8-penny nails and old 2x4s that are scabbed together with a 1x6, okay? But short of that, I mean, I built a house this summer, and they made me cut 6 inches off my eaves. Okay? Because the code wouldn't allow eaves to be longer than the 2 feet. And if I wanted to stop my building project, I could wait 2 months to get on your agenda and bring it before you, and then wait for your approval before I ordered my building materials. So, I mean, these kinds of things are not needed. I don't have to put steel I-beams in my house. Okay? It's not needed. And this goes throughout, I admit I have not read any of what we're talking about tonight, but I've heard enough for the last couple of months. but I, you know, I've heard enough. And the borough should be into economic development. What in the hell good is land to the borough? I don't understand. I've never understood that. They've got probably thousands of acres that are buildable. Nice stuff. But no, we're going to hang out. We're going to keep it. I don't know what we're doing with it. I've never understood that. I'll tell you another one. We should be all over our congressional delegation trying to get some of that Army land back. You know, the Coast Guard works out on the ocean. They don't need God knows how much land there is out there to run maneuvers on, okay? It ain't working out. There's so much economic development out here that the Coast Guard owns. They don't need the land. They inherited it. They didn't even ask for it. They inherited it from the goddamn Navy, okay? We're not doing that. The city of Seward built this big, giant system for one of the big CDQ companies.
Bruce, I need to ask you to sum up. You went over
okay.
a while ago, please.
I'll sum it up. You guys, as everybody says, work for us. You guys volunteer for us, okay? Hallelujah. Spit the Kool-Aid out. You see it in the U.S. Senate. You see it anywhere. I don't understand. You come from one of these guys here. They get elected, and you drink the Kool-Aid, and now everything that happens, it's backwards. So I'll tell you one of the pieces of code that I would like to see changed. I've sat on a lot of boards, commissions, call it what you want, lots of them for the last 30 years. If you got a quorum and you got a majority, the motion passes. Now I think we have a quorum that was established. We had a vote 3-2. How can it fail? So what I would like
I'm
to
see... Have to.
Thanks, Bruce.
I'm trying to get help for that. I would like to see either Kathy or Mike ask for a vote of reconsideration. Why, how you can sit here for so long, for the last months, and listen to this over and over and over all night long, and vote against exactly what the people want? I don't get it. But I would like to see either bring it up for a vote of reconsideration and a vote in favor of it, or I would like you to resign.
Thank you, Bruce. One of the things that I need to explain at this time, just to clarify a few things. There's 7 members on the commission, and I take it a little bit for granted. I call it simple math. You have to count to 4. And if you can't count to 4, regardless, you know, it takes 4 for a quorum. That means everybody has to vote on the affirmative to pass it. It isn't a simple majority. So I apologize. I apologize for not, you know, I take it for granted, but it takes 4, and that's why it failed. But we're under citizen comments right now, and that's not a place to take any action. But there is a little place a little bit later. So with that, go ahead, please.
My name is Scott Yost. I was a general contractor in this town for going on 20 years. I don't do that anymore. But there is a need for our codes when he's talking about building stuff out of 8-penny nails and rough cut spruce. That was my bread and butter for years and years, jacking up rotted houses here. So I mean, we do have a code in force right now, which is perfectly applicable for our community. My problem is these pages and pages and pages on what we can do with our property. Me, luckily, I bought property, and it wasn't that many years ago, and I paid dearly for it. And the borough has not only doubled, but quadrupled my tax assessed value. Which, you know, if somebody in this place would give me what my tax assessed value for my house is right now, I would take that check and I would just run.
Amen.
But that being said, Scott, you're my road district person. Luckily, I'm blessed with having enough income to be able to purchase a large enough piece of property where my road district people park their dump trucks and their road graders there. And they may be parked there because I gave them permission to do that, so because they do a good job for us. This one, not our previous one in my road district, I might add. But and I have somebody come up to me and ask me, where's my building permit? My building permit? Well, yeah, you've got dump trucks and excavators over here. I mean, that's because they're working on our borough borough projects, you know. And it's like, how much money are we paying? We're paying somebody $100,000 a year to drive around and look for where there's equipment parks to see if we have a building permit. I don't think that's right. If there's a few other things in there. I do have a junk truck on my property. The reason it's still there is because they used to have a borough-wide cleanup where they would take a junk car away every year off your property, correct? And you guys did away with that. You raise our taxes, but it's still sitting there. And, well, I'm measuring this out right here. And you got skiff trailers and all this over here. It's like, you know, luckily, I do make enough money. I have a motorhome. I've got four-wheelers and ATVs and ATV trailers parked in my big driveway that I have. And that's the reason I pay the taxes on that stuff, is so I can have a big driveway to park my toys in. And, you know, so you guys can. Anyway, I don't want to take up a lot of your time right there. But I tried to read through this right there, and I went asleep four times at night. And, you know, I went to college for a lot of years to get a degree in something right there. And this stuff, I mean, it's just a bunch of jibber jabber as far as I'm concerned. And I tell you what, I'm the same way as him. If you try to sneak some of this stuff into us, I will do my damnedest to get you unelected. I'm not a big donator to political campaigns or anything like that, but you know what? I do own a lot of property here, and I can put up a lot of signs. So,
thank you, Scott. Go ahead, Chaco.
Good evening. My name's Chaco Pierman. And I listened to this whole process, or most of it, last time on the radio, and then couldn't stand it anymore and came in and spoke a little bit. And recently I have a lot of grandkids in my life, and I spend quite a bit of time with them. And I find myself saying a word that we've all told children often, and that's no. And so my question to you is, what part of no don't you understand?
Thank you, Chaco.
Hello, thank you for presenting a place large enough for all of us to be here, and commissioners.
Could you state your name, please?
Bobby Ivanov, and I'm glad to have this opportunity to be a citizen and share with you my thoughts. The one is, I'm hearing an overwhelming voice of the citizens of Kodiak. We do not want just to postpone the new code indefinitely, but we desire to be burned in the fire pit and look to the old code hard and decide what's best for us, and we are telling you what is best for us. On several subjects, one is I totally agree with the dual governing bodies in Kodiak. We are very small. Why we have a borough and a city, and there is a duplicity of some roles. I think that we need to address that as we're looking at cutting costs and how to put more money into developing this city. It's not growing. I've been here since 1980s. We are not larger, and yet we continue to spend like we are a growing metropolis, and we are not. Number three, the average price of to build a home is like $300,000. If the code is in effect and we have to give the borough 10% of that, we are going to have to come up with $30,000. Who has that to just give to the borough when you want to put your money into building a home and all the costs that those go up with? And I see that there is acreage of property here that the borough owns, and a lot of it's already zoned and partialed out, and yet it's not available for people. So it jacks the price of property up that is available. Why not open it up and give everyone a chance, these young people that keep saying, we want to live here, we want to have our lives here, we want to invest. But they're zoned, they're out. If they don't have the $30,000 to come up just to build a home or to decide to build a business where they can't have chickens or gravel or wood or whatever it is they want to put their heart and soul into, develop their business that we had the opportunity to, and before I even got here. And so with that being said, my next issue, I guess, is to read a notice that Kodiak is a member of ICLEI, which means International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. ICLEI is a United Nations-sponsored group which designs and writes policy for your area on land use, energy goals, and measurement and water usage. ICLEI is a paid consultant and or receives dues from our taxes. With that being said, I would ask everyone to consider and think about answering at some point, does Kodiak receive federal money for transportation and funding? Does Kodiak have a priority redevelopment area? Does Kodiak Borough have a smart growth plan? Does Kodiak participate in a sustainable community strategy? If it does, is this group a nonprofit group? And does Kodiak have a planned mixed-use area? These are important questions for the citizens to think about and research agenda UN 21. And thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Cecile Heiner. And since Bobby said what she said, I had to get up. Last week, I was really disturbed about everything that was going on. And so I went on the YouTube and I punched in Agenda 21. And I punched in Agenda 21 Alaska, Agenda 21 Texas, Agenda 21 Ohio, Agenda 21, you name it, I punched it in. There are people all over America fighting this same thing. People who have lost land, homes already. I punched in Agenda 21 Africa. This program has been implemented in Africa for a long time. And you know what it said when I came to that site? Please, America, wake up before they destroy you like they've destroyed us. So I'm up here asking you guys, the ones of you on the board who still want to do this, and the ones on the next board who still want to do this, to please take your time in the morning at breakfast, at night before you go bed, open your laptop, punch in Agenda 21, punch in different countries of the world. This is a one world government that is trying to take over America. And it's a big, scary deal. And I think if you really, really, really took the time, I think all of a sudden you'd wake up to see what this really is. Thank you.
Thank you, Cecile.
My name is Marco Patitucci, and I fished here since I was a little tiny kid. And Randy Schuster said there's not a lot of people buying property, not young people. And unfortunately, I am one, because I bought property in 2013, and I was real excited. Being a young person, you hear when you're younger, if you buy property when you're young, it's always gonna work out. You're always good, and you feel like you're doing the right thing. However, when I walked into the building department and the borough, that feeling went away really quickly. And right now, I kind of wish I was in Homer or somewhere else that I don't have to deal with these problems. Now, not to say I read your whole packet, but I just want to make sure whatever code we go with, it's encouraging young people to buy property, because right now, if you don't have young people buying in, it's just going to be a stale town, and it's not going to grow, and it's just it's unfortunate because you guys took that feeling away from me very quickly. So right now, I have a big chunk of property that is at a very expensive parking lot, and I make a fair amount of money, but not enough to, and a lot of people said it, you know, once you go buy all your permits and everything, I've already spent $40,000, $50,000, and I don't have a roof to hang out underneath. And it's tempting, like, if the, I think my property is assessed by you guys on a certain amount at $194,000. And if someone gave me that, I'll sell it, I'll walk away. But unfortunately, it's gonna cost around $400,000 to get what I want. And that's just counting in city water. You know, I feel like when you guys figure out how much you're gonna tax me, you don't look at it, how much it's gonna cost me to actually live there. And so it's making it real hard to live in Kodiak. Fortunately, I love fishing, so I'm stuck here. So whatever you guys go with, you'll get my money. So thank you.
Thank you, Marco. Appreciate you coming forward.
Don't mind if I raise this up a little bit. Oh, there we go. My name's Jordan Davis, and I've born and raised here. I'm 23 years young, and I was leaving. I had to go talk to someone real quick, and I was mentioned just to come back and say a few words. I was raised in carpentry here. I was raised in the backwoods, and we worked with our hands, and we did everything that we could. First off, I'm sorry. I love you guys. Thank you for your hard work and your time and your effort and what you've done. And I want to honor that and respect that, because I know there have been many hours put behind this, as well as with the community here. I haven't read all the plans. I don't know exactly how it should be. Is that part of my fault? I should be putting more time into that. But as a young guy, I'm learning and I'm growing as I go, so please forgive me in that. But, you know, I just want to bring a couple things. One thing is that being raised in carpentry with my dad, I had a good work ethic. And unfortunately, there's a lot of young folks around here who do not. And you know, my parents, they bought a piece of property, and they finally were able to pay it off in about 25 years here. They've had it for a long time, and I'm fortunate now to live on that piece of property and not pay nearly a third of what they were paying for rent back in that time. And I'm blessed and honored to be in that place, but I know there's a lot of people out there who are not. I'm a very small percentile that are there, and I've worked very hard for what I have. I am currently in no debt whatsoever to anybody, and I thank God for that. That's amazing. That's a blessing. But I just wanted to share, you know, in high school when I graduated in 2010, the one thing that went around in young people was that the biggest thing was rent. Rent was way too high. They can't make a living. Right now, I have a full-time job. Back then, I did not. It wasn't possible for me to get a full or to rent a place. So I had to, you know, stay at my family's house. But when they left, I still had the mindset, I love this place. I don't want to depart from it. I don't want to leave from it, no matter how high the taxes are, no matter how different the codes are revised over the years. I want to stay here and fight for this place. My fight's not against you. It's not against the community. It's for a unity in the community, and it's for us to stand up as a people and as a family here on the island. I know we're neighbors. I see a couple of you guys around town. Shoot, I can't go anywhere in this place without, you know, waving my hand at every 2 seconds. So I just wanted to bring those couple things up, is that as a young person, for me, I'm very strong-headed, and unfortunately, there's a lot of young people on this island who are not. And so when they're hit with these high rents and hit with these new revised codes, and they're trying to buy property, and they're trying to stay as much as out of debt as they can, let's make it as easy as possible for them, and for me, and for you in the long run, for everybody here. But again, I don't have, you know, persuasive words in my speech. I just wanted to share from a young person's point of view that I love this place, and I'm not going to give up living here. And I'm going to stay here. I'm going to raise a family. I'm going to have a nice spot back in the woods. And we're going to have a great time. I'm going to show my kids how to cut a tree down every Christmas. And I want them to live in those same responsibilities. I know okay.
Go ahead and finish.
And so I just want to encourage that as a body here, please, let's stop fighting each other. let's get together as a community and as a family. You're hearing it from a young person here, and from what I've been hearing, you know, let's stop backlashing each other. You know, if you have something to say, say it with boldness and courage, but say it with the tenderness of your heart to see something change and not just a sword shoved in someone's heart, okay? So I just wanted to share that. I love you guys. I love all you out there. And from a young person, I'm not leaving. So.
Good. Thank you.